The question is, how do I go to the beyond or to that which is peaceful within me when things are not pleasant, when you're suffering, struggling? The most important thing about this practice is being the witness, being able to watch from within you, not from a place of me, myself, but from a place of bearing witness to this activity that encompasses who you think you are. So the witness is a bit like in a courtroom. A witness stands up and reports what they saw. So when you're the witness, you're taking a step back. It's a wonderful way to live. But when somebody is throwing arrows at you or nasty words or even an unpleasant expression or there's tension in the room, that witness is going to withdraw. It might disappear. And the practice for me is to try to return to the posture of witness. So I try to step back from the situation and see it as if I'm not in it. It's not always possible, but even the gesture of turning the mind to the witness is already slightly removed from the immediate emotionality of reacting, responding in an unskillful way. So we want to respond, but the witness helps us to take a better view, take a deep breath, and then bring some wisdom to the interaction. If you can't be the witness, but you can stop and take a deep breath, that too would give you pause. If you imagine our whole life is like a movie, it's good to find ways to pause and gather up some courage, getting space around the situation. I try to go to the listening rather than the persons, the speaker and the spoken to. It can soften the whole thing. It can turn the heart to forgiveness. I always try to soften what's going on. It's impossible to soften the other person. We can't control anybody else's mind, but we can direct our own mind. And I try to direct towards forgiveness, compassion, if those two don't come up, bear down on the other person's ability to be compassionate. The fight is not a good choice. Try not to fight, because we can do better than that. Who is there to fight with? Who are we, anyway? The world is full of fighting, hatred, and delusion. Where does it go? It goes to more hatred, more delusion, more fight. But if we get involved in the fight, in the argument, or in the trying to solve or heal or cure when the other person is not ready for that or open to it, then it could just exacerbate or heat up even more. And that's, you know, the world is kind of doing that. War is like that. Peace is hard to come by, and there are important ingredients. The only peace that we can make is within ourselves in the present moment. I wanted to quote the astronaut, the commander, when he was asked, how the three of them were able to live for 10 days in such a stressful situation in a little capsule in the middle of space together without quarreling, getting along so well, supporting each other. And he said three things: gratitude, joy, and love. So gratitude is peacemaking. If we imagine if the leaders of the world were to stand up and make a speech and say, I'm so grateful to you for leading your country, there would be no fight. There would be no war. But they don't say that. Just that. They might not like the person, but they could say, I'm so grateful for, and find some beautiful thing that that person has done, which would bring up a sense of gratitude. I'm so grateful that you're a human being. We are all human beings. The other thing that the astronaut said was, I'm so grateful to be a human being. He also said, we are all human beings. We're so lucky to be human beings. And that was a feeling that came over one of them. I think one of them had a little bit of an awakening, if not all three. Because when you go away from what you love and you see that is possible, you might never get back to it. If we were able to find one thing to be grateful for about the people that we don't like, then we would be healing ourselves from a lot of unhealthy emotion. Try to imagine, think of somebody that you don't like. Just bring that person into your mind. Everyone. Is there anyone in your life you don't like? If there's anyone in our life that we don't like, we have important work to do. There may be people in our life that we've had words with, that we've had contention with, that have been mean to us. But if we can forgive them, then we will not carry around that meanness, that hatefulness, that contention, that fight in our own hearts. Because where does suffering arise but within us? We can't control the suffering that arises in anybody else, but we can make peace right here within us. So when meeting somebody and they won't be nice, we can make a determination to be nice, to bring peace to the moment, to bring gratitude that they're a human being. I'm a human being too, and we don't always have to agree, but we can always be grateful that we're two human beings and we're not going to fight. So we feel grateful that there is peace, we can find peace, we can bring it back. Think of the monks that walk for peace. We make today our peaceful day. Today will be my peaceful day. So we bring up gratitude, we bring up joy. Gratitude leads to joy. And then when those two qualities are present, that's love. When there's peace, there's love. If we wait for the other person to say something nice, we've lost the Dhamma. We have to act from wisdom. What will happen if I put up a little sign that says peace? You may not have a sign, so then a word. And it could be something like, I really wish we could make peace. What would they say? Okay. Do you think that would be hard to do? There's no technique. There's no list. There's nothing to remember except the knot in your belly or the pinch in your throat or the squeeze in your heart. And what can you offer yourself to come back to gratitude, to come back to forgiveness for the other person, for yourself? To maybe not like what you're hearing, but to love the opportunity to breathe and be with somebody who makes us practice more deeply, takes us to the edge of a cliff, to the edge of where courage has to play in, to where we can let go of fear and bring peace into the heart, a gratitude for being alive, whatever the challenge is. We're fortunate that we know the Dhamma, that we can reach for peace, that we can put up a flag of, I'm going to make peace right here with this. I'm going to turn these words that are difficult into buds, a little bud which will bloom. You don't have to move in with that person and live with them, but just in that very moment, there can be a softening, a flowering into the Dhamma. We often pick up the practice as something that was written in a book, some technique that I did when I was sitting in a meditation hall. The practice is how we breathe, how we live, how we love, how we make peace. How we give up our fear. Fear is not peaceful. Is it permanent? Is fear permanent? No. Fear is impermanent. It arises. It rears its ugly head. We call it by its true name, and it goes away. It comes right back, and then we put up a sign of peace, and it runs away. We wave our flag of peace, and it stays in a corner. It might come back, but we're waving our flag of peace as hard as we can. I should say as softly as we can, because if it's hard, we won't do it. You know, the only way we do this is by practicing doing it. So I've been practicing for decades, and I'm still practicing. You know, it starts with P for patience. So if we have inordinate amount of patience, but what is patience actually? Patience is love. Patience is giving the opportunity for something that's not working to work. It might not work the way we thought it would, but if we can bring some goodness out of it, some understanding, some compassion, that's beautiful. What could be wrong in that? Life is a test. Birth is a test. Childhood is a test. Teenagehood is a test. Adult life is a test. Midlife is a test. Old age is a test. I'm learning how to be old. It's the best test. No future. Past is dead. Death is every moment. I love it. I'm learning more than I've ever learned before. I'm very grateful that I could live to be old. Some people don't. Then you have to learn everything faster. Sickness too, we might not be grateful for it. But even in sickness, there's so much to learn. If we never got sick, what would we learn? If we didn't die, imagine if you lived forever. Do you want that? Would you like to live forever? So we have to be very mindful of what we wish for and compassionate to ourselves and also so grateful. This is patience. Whatever comes up in the heart, to bring that loving gratitude to it. And on the heels of love and gratitude is joy. We're in space. We're astronauts. And we are human. If you pick up the word practice in an intellectual way, it doesn't work. Our thinking mind is the troublemaker. I wanted to read this to you. We do not know what laws are at work here in this world. These pains that we endure may purify some dark karma to release us from them forever. In the very depths of pain, a greater strength of spirit is born. More than patience, more than ordinary love, one that makes us resilient. Maybe that's the hidden blessing of this dukkha, of these pains of life. As of all dukkha, if we allow ourselves to be changed by it and surrender to it, even when that feels impossible, I wrote that a long time ago, but I was curious to read it because it's true. We think that suffering is a problem, but if we didn't have suffering, we wouldn't learn anything. That's why the Buddha teaches it. Four noble truths. We have to look at the origin of the suffering, and the origin of our suffering is within us. You don't just magic it away. We can blame situations. We can blame life. But basically, that's why the practice is so helpful, because it gives us a chance to sit down and investigate the origin of our suffering. And when we call life a problem, we have a problem. We've named it, we have it. If we are living in a situation that is unskillful, we have to examine the choices that we've made And if our choices have led to habits or a relationship or living with a landlord that mistreats you, anything like that, there are practical choices that have to be made. Sometimes the choice is that you talk to your spiritual friend and get support. Because alone, it just may feel overwhelming. And it's okay to ask for help. So we have to be wise in how we seek help with carrying what's heavy. And in trying to lighten the load, if possible. If we have bad habits, then you take the steps to acquire that which will nourish you, nurture you in one's expectations of results, wanting things to resolve quickly. Maybe we're too demanding. And it is actually working, but we don't see that. So there are many factors. The practice isn't a magic wand. You wave it and you're cured. No. This is like birth. There's incubation. It's very painful. Birth is dukkha. The birth of a new being. The practice is a process. And little by little, we learn a lot in the process. Life is a process. So if we're willing to live with patience, that we're in a process of unfolding, if you watch a flower that's a bud, you could stand there and you could try to pull the petals open. That's not right. You have to wait for the season for it to flower naturally. Then we realize that the flower is teaching us how to open to life. Maybe the opening is slower than we want, but we have a lot to learn in the opening. We want the result, but maybe the wanting is preventing us from opening in a way that will even appreciate what we're trying to get. Well, this practice is not about getting anything. If we think there's something to get, then our thinking is standing in the way of understanding a process, which is learning how to love this moment. Whatever fear is arising in this moment, our flowering is learning how to open to that, open to the darkness, open to the feelings that we hate within us. Opening to the wisdom that is budding slowly within us. So maybe you can remember that P in practice stands for patience. Patience is everything. It's the path itself. In the goodness of time, the flower will open. Everybody has habits, and everybody has feet to walk this path. So sometimes we use our habits as an excuse, and excuses are impatient. So renouncing habits is not a bad thing, but they won't go away just like that. You have to be a mother and a father to yourself. You have to play and love and be happy. Not take it so seriously, because you'll die in your seriousness. If you've ever sat with somebody that was dying and happy, you would come away very happy. So be happy. Then we can let each other go.